"I have to admit," said Dirk, with rare humility, "that I did not. In the end I asked a child. I told him the story of the trick, and asked him how he thought it had been done, and he said, and I quote, 'It's bleeding obvious, innit? He must have had a bleeding time machine.' I thanked the little fellow and gave him a shilling for his trouble. He kicked me rather sharply on the shin and went about his business. But he was the one who solved it. My only contribution to the matter was to see that he must be right. He had even saved me the bother of kicking myself."
"But you had the perception to think of asking a child," said Reg. "Well, then, I must congratulate you on that instead."
Dirk was still eyeing the abacus suspiciously. "How does it work?" he said, trying to make it sound like a casual inquiry.
"Well, it's really terribly simple," said Reg. It works any way you want it to. You see, the computer that runs it is a rather advanced one. In fact, it is more powerful than the sum total of all the computers on this planet, including, and this is the tricky part, including itself. Never really understood that bit myself, to be honest with you, but over 95% of that power is used in simply understanding what it is you want it to do. I simply plonk my abacus down there, and it understands the way I use it. I think I must have been brought up to use an abacus when I was a child, I suppose. Richard, for instance, would probably want to use his own personal computer. If you put it down there, where the abacus is, the machine's computer would simply take charge of it and offer you lots of nice user-friendly time-travel applications, complete with pull-down menus and desk accessories, if you like. Except that you point to 1066 on the screen, and you've got the Battle of Hastings going on outside your door, if that's the sort of thing you're interested in." Reg's tone of voice suggested that his own interests lay in other areas. It's really quite fun in its way," he concluded. "Certainly better than television, and a great deal easier to use than a video recorder. If I miss a programme, I just pop back in time and watch it. I'm hopeless fiddling with all those buttons." Dirk reacted to this revelation with horror. "You have a time machine, and you use it for watching television? Well, I wouldn't use it at all if I could get the hang of the video recorder. It's a very delicate business, time travel, you know, full of appalling traps and dangers. If you should change the wrong thing in the past, you could entirely disrupt the course of history. Plus, of course, it mucks up the telephone. I'm sorry," he said to Richard a little sheepishly, "that you were unable to phone your young lady last night. There seems to be something fundamentally inexplicable about the British telephone system, and my time machine doesn't like it. There's never any problem with the plumbing, the electricity, or even the gas. The connection interfaces are taken care of at some quantum level I don't entirely understand, and it's never been a problem. The phone, on the other hand, is definitely a problem. Every time I use the time machine, which is, of course, hardly at all, partly because of this very problem with the phone goes haywire, and I have to get some lout from the phone company to come and fix it, and he starts asking stupid questions, the answers to which he has no hope of understanding. Anyway, the point is that I have a very strict rule that I must not change anything in the past at all," Red sighed. "Whatever the temptation." "What temptation?" said Dirk sharply. "Oh, it's just a little thing I'm interested in," said Reg, vaguely. "It is perfectly harmless, because I stick very strictly to the rule. It makes me sad, though."